welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 80, and I am Libya, your host, and we have returning guests.
David.
From?
From L.A.
Peter from Glendale.
Tom from La Crescenta.
Allison from Tarzana.
And Ronnie from Las Vegas.
Woohoo! All right, this week I'm talking really fast because this is going to be the lightning round of TV Campfire. First up in the news, we have that Kiefer Sutherland has been cast as the star of Fox's new show, Touch, which picked up for 13 episodes. It's about, he's the father of a gifted child that has some sort of special ability, and I'm not sure what that is. They weren't really that clear on the release. So I'll probably give it a shot. I like Kiefer Sutherland. 24 was good. Yeah, whatever. Now, let me explain the lightning round. That means we're going to discuss an inordinate number of new TV shows and old TV shows, and some of them will get our regular discussion time, and some of them will be like a minute. We're going to say, saw it, liked it, hated it, whatever, and just keep on rolling. Basically, to let you know of all the new shows that came out this season, or just premiered this week, because this is officially the premiere week, which shows should you be watching? Okay, here we go. Well, first up, we're actually going to have a discussion on the finale of Eureka. What did you guys think?
I was mad because I wanted... Who knows when we're going to get season 5?
Well, there's that, but I mean, was it a good finale?
Oh, it was a great finale.
It was a great cliffhanger.
It was a great cliffhanger, and since we don't know when they're going to air the second part...
That's kind of annoying, yeah.
It's really a cliffhanger.
Well, one thing for me is, I was talking about last week, I was tired of the Icarus Titan mission. I was like, oh, come on, let's go already. So this week, we actually...
<They're done.
laughs> they launched the mission, and... They actually made me feel slightly sad for evil Will Wheaton.
It was a very sentimental episode.
Yeah,
there were a lot of sentimental attitudes from people, and I kind of liked that. It was different.
And why is Joe leaving?
That I don't know.
That kind of came out of nowhere,
yeah.
Actually. It's like, yeah. Oh, all of a sudden, I don't feel like I belong here, and I'm going on walkabout. And
you know she'll
like,
be.
Oh, okay, whatever. That's for next season.
Well,
but I guess the one thing is that, you know, sort of the walkabout came up. It's like, okay, she's not really going. She just needs to get away. You know what I mean? Because throughout the episode, they kept talking about it. And then when, I forgot, her old boyfriend said a walkabout. It's like, okay, well, maybe she'll be back.
Well, yeah. she better be back.
She'll be back.
Yeah, I mean... But I love her and Zane. I think that their relationship is great. Yeah.
Jane.
It's tied
Zane.
In. Yeah.
No.
Zane.
Joe
and
Zane.
Jane. Yeah.
Oh, well.
But it tied into Zane's leaving for the mission. I mean, that's why it makes sense, but it was very brief. It felt very sudden to have her just take
it. Yeah, she just decided in the middle, literally like in the middle of the episode, I think I need to leave.
Right.
Like, what? But I think the senator knows what's going on, because she was all like, we have to make sure we launch now, because we have to launch now. And
there's
some
secret plot there going on.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, what's her face?
Beverly Barlow, yeah.
Oh, I think you can guarantee that she's involved.
Didn't she get locked up or something?
No, she got away and she stole the database.
She stole something.
That's right. She stole the information.
She stole all the information, so... she probably has the capability of taking over the launch because she has all the codes. Why would they not change the codes after they know she's taken all their info?
Right.
I don't know.
That would
TV.
Be too smart. That would, you know, make things secure and nice and prevent us from having a cliffhanger at the end.
But now they've actually... Because remember, I think a couple weeks ago, my main complaint was they finally got Jack and Allison together, and then they're throwing stupid obstacles in their way. I think this is a legitimate
obstacle.
This
is a legitimate obstacle.
Yes. She is now literally on another planet. So I was like, all right, okay. But it also is kind of cool because now it leaves Jack in charge of the kids, because now he has to take care of the baby and a teenager.
Yeah.
And Kevin is great. I mean, he's
freaking brilliant teenager.
I know. That's the problem, because he's smarter than Jack. So now how do you control a teenager that's smarter than you are? So that's kind of interesting. I like that.
But Jack has street smarts.
That's true. But still. So like
great
every
cliffhanger episode, they really went out on a bang.
Yeah, it was a good episode. All right. Next up, lightning round portion. Well, I guess a little more. Let's talk about Alphas. This is one of the best new episodes they've had so far. Basically,
yeah.
They deal with the whole red flag thing, and they're like, you have a traitor in your midst, and they capture all of them and basically trank everybody and throw them in holding cells. So they're like, oh, we want to find out which one of you guys are working for Red Cell. And I like everyone's attitude. It was pretty much like, well, if we weren't working for Red Cell before, you've basically made it so we all should be working for Red Cell now. You know, so they really mess with the loyalty of the team by treating them very badly. So I thought that was an interesting approach.
I think it was interesting that basically they were all turned on each other. The enemy was each other.
Right.
Trying to figure out who
the traitor
was.
Yeah, that was.
I thought they really pulled it out with this episode. I mean, considering that the way the series started, I really didn't care whether I watched another ep again. And they've really kind of come from that point to an ep, to the point where I really find the show very watchable now, and I'm looking forward to seeing another episode after this. So I think that they've actually grown with this and become a really watchable show.
Well, they made it from where I only cared about Gary to where I actually care about, I'd say, half the team.
Really? So, I thought Gary was used to be much more annoying than he is now.
No, Gary, I love Gary.
He was the only one I cared about.
Yeah, Gary's got this, I mean, there's something about his character that's just fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I always cared about him. And then I was like, oh, I guess I like the doctor too. And then so I'm starting to really like everybody.
I guess Gary's the one that's different from the stereotypical character on these shows.
Well, I know. That's what makes him interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So thumbs up for Alphas.
Definitely.
Lightning round for real. Here we go. Two Broke Girls.
Oh, I liked it.
Thumbs up.
I'm a big Kat Dennings fan, so.
She's great.
Yeah. She's great.
The highest rated new show on television.
That's
at least
true.
This week.
Yeah, it was very highly rated. Really, I thought it was it was a good, it was the comedy that I watched ahead of time, and I was like, I like this. I could probably watch it. I don't know if I will, but I liked it. I liked the concept. A very rich girl trying to live day by day. It's like, it's little, and literally she has nothing.
And
I think that's
is
pretty good.
Created by Whitney Cummings, who we will talk about later.
Yeah.
Oh, co-created, who later has her own show, Whitney, which we'll talk about later.
All right, so
thumbs up.
Two Broke Girls.
It made me want to figure out where I knew Kat Dennings from, because I'd seen
she's
her before.
Like everything.
Thor.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see Thor, but yeah.
Yeah, tons of stuff. But anyways, go ahead.
Next up, we're going to talk about 2.5 Men. I didn't watch it, but what'd you guys think?
I watched it. I don't watch the show, but I was curious. I think if you're a fan of the show, it was probably pretty funny the way they killed off Charlie Sheen. I mean, they like, the person even said something like, he gets hit by a train and he didn't feel any pain. He was just a bag of meat or something like that. I mean, it's really like, he's dead. and then, you know, Ashton Kutcher, I don't love or hate the guy, but he was fine, you know? So, I'm not a fan of the show, but I thought it was fine.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. I'm not a huge fan of the show, but I watched it out of curiosity, like probably the other 27 million people who
Yeah. I wanted to watch it out of curiosity, but I don't watch it regularly. It's okay, but, you know.
They spent a lot of money on guest stars because the funeral had literally easily a dozen, you know, 30-something Hollywood actresses who were all his ex-paramours.
And wow.
But there was a great cameo with Dharma and Greg.
Yeah, which is a Chuck Lorre show.
Which is Chuck Lorre's show. So they had Dharma Greg as prospective buyers for the house.
So that was kind of funny.
And also John Stamos.
Was Stamos, did Chuck Lorre do a show with him?
No.
So that's just, okay, I was wondering.
All right, so would you, I guess you can't
I'm
really
not
guess,
watching
it's,
that show.
It's worth checking out, but, you know, I'm done after the second half.
Yeah, I don't
premiere.
Need to watch. Yeah.
Okay. next up, discussion. Premiere of Castle.
Whoa.
Good cliffhanger from last season.
Very good.
And so now we pick up pretty much where, literally seconds after the finale. So what'd you guys think?
I liked it a lot. It's funny, Castle is renowned for the lightness of the typical episode.
Right.
But when they do the serious arc episodes, they nail it. And this is one.
Yeah, they did nail this one. I mean, I really felt like as soon as she goes, oh, I don't remember anything, yet I don't need to see you for the next 3 months. I was like, come on, either you sell the I don't remember that you said I love you, or you say that you remember it and I need some space. You don't pull off both because it's obvious that you do remember. So I thought that was like, that made me roll my eyes, but the angst was still pretty good. Ronnie, I know it's one of your favorite shows.
Right, and I liked how that they did, you know, when Kate came back, that she, you know, that they really showed how that she literally was shaking, you know what I mean, and how she was able to overcome that. But at the end, you see, like, okay, I know this really affected her.
Right. Yeah, because she couldn't even hold her gun.
Because you don't get, you know, a near-death experience and just shrug it off the next day. It's something that's going to definitely leave a mark. It's going to affect you. And so I like the fact that she didn't just, run in and become like the old Kate. You know, she's going to actually have something, she's going to have issues that she has to deal with.
which was nice.
What do y'all think of the new boss?
It's going to take some getting used to.
Well, what's weird is she's from 24. She played
Star Trek Deep Space
Nine. Yeah, I hated her on Deep Space Nine. And I liked her on 24, but she was a villain on 24. So now I'm kind of like, I don't know, man. And she very much starts off, you're going to hate me. Like, she comes from the attitude of, I don't need to be liked at all.
Well, I think that they're trying to make a real definition between her and the previous chief. You know, they're definitely trying to make a dividing line so that you can see the contrast. But I think I'm willing to give her some space and see if they mellow her character out. I'm hoping that they do.
I think she's a better actress than the guy was, but.
I'm not real fond of her insisting that everybody call her sir.
That's weird.
It's just weird.
but they're trying to say, oh, she's hardcore or whatever. I'm like, yeah. They need to soften her up a little bit, because even if it was a guy, she would be annoying like that. Mm-hmm. So,
right. But I think that they're starting off from that point, and that the more they get to know her character, the more they build a relationship with her, the more she softens up.
One other thing I wanted to bring up is you got this guy who got the package from the old captain, and he's like, he talks to Castle, he's like, you need to get her off this thing. And so he kind of lies to Kate, sort of, to get her off the case. And that was kind of hard to watch, too. It was weird because I knew why he was doing it. I just hated the fact that he was lying to me.
I actually liked it because you saw the repercussions in the other characters, his daughter and his, you know. Right. Everybody was like, you shouldn't be doing this. You can't do this. You know, what's going on? Why are you doing this?
Well, his daughter was freaked out because he almost died.
And I liked the fact that their relationship was shaken a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That was good. I thought the mom made more sense. She was more mature about it. She was like, all right, do what you got to do. The daughter's terrified. And that all fits for their character. Yeah. So it works. So, thumbs up. I really thought this was a really good Castle episode.
I thought that one moment where he shows his ongoing investigation, it reminded me of NBC's Life.
Oh, yeah, because he's got the wall.
He's almost completely out of leads. It's like everybody's dead.
Right, right.
All the X's through people.
All the X's through.
The issue with the captain makes me think of the idea when a new character comes in and it's like it's a really different character from the one that they're replacing. And how long do you give them, you know, it's kind of harsh and you have to get used to it. How long do you give that character a time to adjust and say, okay, I'll get used to this character now that it's a different person and wait for them to soften up?
The only thing I say about that is the show's not about the captain. So if I end up hating the captain, I'm still going to keep watching
the show. It's not going to make you stop watching the show, but it's like, oh, I don't like that character. But you want to like the characters in the show, generally, I think.
Right,
so
you do.
So how long do you give them before you say, I'm just not going
to
like that.
But I necessarily need to, well, I don't watch Castle, but I don't necessarily need to like characters as much as I find them interesting.
Right.
I mean, because obviously they can be people we're not supposed to respect and stuff like that.
I agree. And I think that character, they designed that character for us not to like.
Well, I love that little thing when they first meet.
At least initially.
I love the little thing when they first meet and it says, yeah, you beat my record or whatever.
Oh, yeah, by what, 3 weeks or something? Or
right.
Not that much, I think.
Yeah. Right. All right.
But one scene that I thought was really great was when Kate, like when, you know, when they got the, where there were no leads with the fire, and she just kind of said, you know, this didn't work. This has to work out because everything else hasn't. And just the intensity of that scene was amazing.
That was pretty good. That, like I said, they did drama really well this week. That was a good scene.
Yes.
All right. Wrapping up Castle, let's move on to Hawaii 5-0. Like you said, Castle's great. Hawaii 5-0 this week, they wrapped up their finale. They had their big finale where. What's his?
McGarrett.
McGarrett. I was blanking on his name. Where McGarrett starts off in jail, and you've got James Marsters is in there, and he tries to shank him. Well, actually, he does shank him. Which was pretty good fight scene. I was like, oh, nice fight scene. However, he gives the logic of why he's doing everything, and then you get to the end of the episode. I was like, oh, that's not going to end well for him, and he ends up in a pool of his own blood.
Exactly. So, you know, it was just, it's a fun show. I mean, it's completely unbelievable. Like him in the, you know, getting out of the ambulance and everything else. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those ones you just kind of go with it and it's fun. You know what I mean? And I think what was nice with this episode is how, you know, sort of you see how his father was involved way back with both the mayor, the governor. And Wolfat.
Yeah.
So I like that part of it. They didn't do quite enough of the bromance. One of the things I love about the show is the bromance. It's one of my guilty pleasure shows, you know?
The only thing I call foul on is the new chick that's been hanging out with them. I knew she was a traitor when she first showed up. I was like, I don't trust her. I don't trust her. And then she didn't do anything evil. I was like, why don't I trust her? And then at the end, she gets in the car with Wu Fat, and I was like, oh, that's why I don't trust her. Uh-huh. But I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the actress that knew ahead of time that she was going to be evil, but there was something about the character that she was giving off that made me not trust her.
And you know what? That's true. There's something about her.
Right. And I never trusted her I think she was in like 3 episodes, and I was like, why are they telling her all this information? They shouldn't be telling her all this information. She's not part of the crew. But then when Terry O'Quinn shows up, which by the way was awesome, when Terry O'Quinn shows up, I didn't have any doubt that he was evil. I was like, oh, it's Terry O'Quinn. He must be a good guy. You know, like I totally was just like jumped on board. And I like the fact that he's the guy that trained McGarrett to be a Navy SEAL. So when they're like, oh, he's escaped, we have to go help him. He's like, oh, he'll be fine. He's like, how do you know? I trained him. That was really good. And they really have good chemistry. And then, of course, there's a scene where he meets Daniel Day-Kim, and they shake hands like they've never met before. And it's just like, why does this look weird? Oh, right.
They didn't do the, have we met before?
No, they didn't do the, have we met before? They just, it was like, oh, my name is such and such. It's nice to meet you. And they just really smile at each other. And and I think they're the only two characters that had like a lengthy intro where they actually really just stopped and talked to each other.
Do they shoot Hawaii 5-0 in Hawaii?
Oh, yes.
So not only that, but they're also
hanging out in Hawaii.
Still on the island.
Right.
But, yeah.
That was pretty cool. They're probably not on the same island.
No, they are.
Oh.
They are on the same island?
Yeah, it's Oahu.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that they filmed Lost in Hawaii. Anyway, we want to talk about Playboy Club, which premiered to abysmal ratings. And I saw a 10-minute trailer for it and thought it was awful and didn't need to watch it. So those who watched it, what'd you think?
I turned it off. It was
like how far did you get before?
Probably around the first segment, about 8 or 10 minutes in. And I like Amber Heard. She's been in a lot of small movies that I like. But, you know, once it gets to this, she somehow kills a mob boss with her stiletto shoe. And I was like, oh, you gotta be. And but it's not done in a funny, campy way. If it was done in a funny, campy way, I'd be like, all right, but it's all serious. And I was like, I'm out. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was. There were some unrealistic expectations set up there. The whole, oh, well, it's okay. You killed him, but that's all right. You know, we'll just figure out a way to get around this. It was like, I don't know. But I mean, I watched the whole thing, and I think, you know, the setting was interesting to me. Actually, the thing I liked best was Chicago in the 60s. That's, you know, for me, that's a kind of a cool thing. But, and I like some of the cast a lot. But, yeah. I don't know that it'll make it, and I won't miss it that much.
Didn't you think a lot of the male characters were so much this is our version of Don Draper from Mad Men?
Yes, I was going to say, they're trying to be Mad Men, you know, ripoffs, but, you know, I don't know, whatever. I don't watch Mad Men, so I don't get enough of that.
So, thumbs down for Playboy Club. Next up was New Girl, which was the show that I predicted that was going to fall, which means I should not be in the TV prediction thing business, because this is why I don't have a job as a TV producer. So New Girl actually did really well. It was one of the highest rated new comedies.
I liked it.
I didn't love it,
but I liked it. But I'm very curious to see the next one, because Wayne's is gone because he's on Happy Ending.
I was wondering.
The next episode is they replaced him. There's a new person.
Who's Wayne's?
So. Wayne's the black dude, Coach.
Oh.
Coach, yes. Coach.
I'm surprised they didn't reshoot his stuff, because that's usually the MO these days.
Yeah, that is true. As long as you're going to. I don't know why. Yeah, that is
too cheap.
Yeah. All right. I thought
it was interesting. The first thing I saw was the opening sequence or whatever with that song,
which she later sings later.
And I hated the song. I thought it was like, what the hell is this? Campy, you know, ridiculously whatever. But it makes sense now after seeing the whole episode. Because that's her thing. That's what she does.
She's adorkable.
She's
simply adorkable.
It is ultra quirky. Yes, if you like that sort of thing, it's very different. If you like that sort of thing, I think it might do well.
To be fair, I agree with Livia, though, that besides her, I do think it's pretty generic with the rest of the characters.
Absolutely.
Like, It's, for me, it's all about like, well, I like this actor, so okay, I'll go with this.
But you can't have four quirky characters in a show. They gotta be, you know, true. One has to be really quirky.
You need a straight man.
Balance out.
Right.
They didn't
do enough with the other people, but we'll see if that happens.
All right. I personally give it a thumbs down. They gave it a eh. So next up is Glee, and the one thing one thing I want to say about Glee is, of all the things on my TiVo, I recorded a gazillion things this week. I didn't bother to watch Glee. It was on my TiVo. I was staring at it for weeks.
It's not terrible. Miss anything.
Great. It's, yeah.
I think I'm out this season. I just came to the conclusion. I didn't know I was out. Like, if you had asked me last week if I was out of Glee, I'd have been like, no, I'm totally watch it. And I just didn't find the motivation to hit play.
I've been saying all along, this is a show that's going to self-destruct.
It's kind of doing exactly that because, yeah, I was watching the thing. I was exactly feeling the way you were, Livia, because I was watching Glee and I was a fan of Glee. And then when I actually saw the premiere this season, I thought, I'm done with this.
Also, I'd like to say the one thing I did think interesting when I was, I know I said this too, Livia, was nice to see that there's a scene where Kurt and, is it Blaine?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt and Blaine are basically talking about how they're still at separate schools and now they're be competing, but they're in love with each other. And I was like, oh, nice to see that two gay men can have zero chemistry just like two straight people can. Because I was like, I don't buy this at all.
They've
like,
come
I don't.
So far.
Yeah. It was just like, yeah, that was not doing it for me.
Yeah,
so.
I don't watch the show, but I can't help but be exposed to it through promos and the culture in the world. But I think that they do push that show so hard to get every drop of everything out of it and every merchandising option and everything.
You're right.
It's bound to explode at some point.
Oversaturation.
Oversaturation.
Yeah. And I think I think partly it's because they also really changed the cast or something this season too. Like they got rid of some of the characters that
not really enough.
Lips.
Lips is gone.
He's gone, and then that woman, the woman who was going out with Puck, who I liked actually, she's gone.
Yeah.
For no reason?
The overweight girl, I can't
remember. Her reason is she's like, I have to leave New Directions to move on something else. It's just some dumb throwaway.
It made no sense.
She's in it for 2 seconds. It's not. But the weird thing to me was, I liked that character. I do like her. I didn't really care about Lips. But what's weird is the whole episode, they keep talking about, we need new people. We need to get more people. And a part of me was like, you know, actually, I wouldn't mind if you can come up with some new blood for the show. But I don't think they did. Like, now I'm looking back on it. Did they have a lot of new cast members?
No.
Yeah, like that's the whole episode, but I mean, maybe it's next week. But
they don't actually do it. And the thing is, that's the problem with the whole show is they don't actually move anything forward.
No.
I mean, we're still in the same rut with most of the characters that we were at the beginning.
Schuster is still with the redhead.
Sue is exactly as venal as she was in the very first episode. She hasn't progressed as a character at all. Schuster is exactly the same as he was in episode one. I mean, all these characters, they're exactly the same, and you keep wanting people to change and grow and their relationships to develop, and they don't.
I think I was okay with it not developing because I liked the set pieces, but because the set pieces don't engage me as much anymore, I'm starting to notice it more.
All right, wrapping up Glee. So
that
blah.
Sounds like a thumbs down. Dude.
Yeah, it seems like a thumbs down. All right, next up, I want to talk about NCIS real quick. It's a new season. They had a good. Well, their finale of last season was. They put DeNozzo on this special case. It's a picture. We don't get to see the picture. Who is he investigated? Dun dun dun. That's kind of how it ends. And this season, I actually like their opening because. You start at the end of the investigation. Like, he's already, over the summer, he did the investigation. We didn't get to see it. It ended up in a shootout that we also didn't get to see. He's got memory loss. He's in the hospital. He's been shot. He's got memory loss. He doesn't know what happened, who he shot, who he was investigating. And you go through it step by step with him to try to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
I actually thought it was too contrived. I didn't like it. I don't like flashback shows generally. And it was something that... I didn't get enough out of it to feel satisfied that I had waited through all this flashback and reverse chronology to.
Well,
except
that I was pretty sure. I agree with you in the whole mystery of who the heck the picture was. I was pretty sure it was the girl, but or his ex-girlfriend or whatever. And then it ended up being her partner, which I don't think was a big enough of a twist to matter. But I did. We talked about bromance. You stick DiNozzo and Gibbs in a room, I'm happy. You know,
that's character. That's not story.
That's true. That is true. But and that was pretty much what the story. The story was pretty much DiNozzo and the psychologist, who's a sister of Kate, which is kind of. I think that's a little contrived. But I like that character. And then if he wasn't in the room with her, he was in the room with Gibbs. And the only thing I call foul on, though, is at the end of the episode, it's like, these people were part of the Phantom Eight. What is the Phantom Eight? And, of course, we take a class photo of the Phantom Eight, who are not supposed to exist, so let's all take a picture together. Like, I was like, you guys suck as secret organizations go, you know? If you're not supposed to have any fingerprints, nobody's supposed to know who you are, you have no name.
So don't take a picture.
No, don't take a picture as a group. Like, that makes no sense. So, so Gibbs, of course, finds a picture and figures out who the mystery guy is and all this other stuff, and that this other dude was lying, and that all comes together. And I figure that's going to be the big conspiracy of the season, which is fine, because I like it when NCIS has an ongoing storyline.
Yeah, and maybe it's like what we were talking about that was all set up. Fringe, which we'll talk about later, that it's a setup episode more than it is actually a story, action, happening things episode. And if you like the characters and you like to see what's going to be set up, great. Otherwise, I could have missed this episode, but I'll watch more episodes in the future.
Oh, I can see that. But I like the characters. So that's I'm in this show for the characters. All right, moving on. I like NCIS. But moving on, Unforgettable. Did anybody see it?
Yeah.
Nope.
they forgot. Unforgettable was a weird one in that I thought the pilot was very strong. I like the characters. I like the actors who were in the pilot. And the story was actually pretty good. I thought it was a pretty good pilot. But then I was like, I don't know if I need to see the next episode. It felt weird. It was like felt like a movie. It felt like it was complete.
I felt like it was complete, and it was fine. It was, you know, nice production or whatever. I thought the effects were a little interesting. But other than that, it was something I've seen before. It's like, it's not anything really new to me.
What's the premise?
Premise is somebody who can't forget anything in her life, so she remembers crime scenes and things and puts pieces together.
Even the crime scene stuff is that's like The Mentalist does the same thing. But right. I thought what was interesting is not only does she just remember details of crime scenes, she literally remembers everything in her life. Right. So they'll have these scenes where if instead, like I would say, some people would sit around and play their iPhone or whatever, play a game if they have like 5 minutes to do nothing. What she does is she'll go back, she'll play back memories, like good memories in her life. And like, so she'll be sitting there waiting for something and she'll just go floop, floop, and she'll just flash back to some pleasant thing. And
well, she sat in the restaurant with her ex-husband or whatever, boyfriend or whatever it was, and she was like playing back when they met and how they slept together and all this stuff.
Yeah, so that was I thought that was pretty
interesting. It's an interesting use of the device. The idea is that they use that device to solve crime and in her personal life, what does it do? And that's a kind of interesting concept, but it hasn't played enough to really be different enough for me to say I love this more than anything else. Good show to, you know, crime show to watch.
And I think I agree with you on that. I thought it's strong. If you like cop shows and crime shows, I think it's a pretty good one. I think it's a pretty good addition. I'm not sure if I need to watch it.
Right. Like, in addition to anything else.
I'm looking at my schedule, you know. I'm like, I don't know if I need to add it to it, but I liked it, though. So that's kind of a weird thing. It's kind of an endorsement and not. It's like, if you like this kind of stuff, you'll like this. That's the best I can say.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Ringer. And this is the second episode, Sarah Michelle Gellar's show, and I think I'm out.
The big problem with the episode is they didn't advance the story enough. No, not at all.
And the silliness with the dead body was insanity.
That was so dumb. The thing I did like is that Bridget is a better human being than
her sister.
Siobhan.
Yeah, that's true. She is a better human. But that's easy. Siobhan's not a very good person.
Yes.
I mean, especially since she set up her sister to take her place so she could get murdered instead.
Right. Right. It's all insane. Like, no, I don't think she intended her sister to take her place.
I don't think so?
I think
she... Oh, that's right. That's right. Because
she thought her sister was going to report her dead, which she didn't do. And so now she's mad that her sister took her place and took her,
and
money,
took her money,
which is great.
That was funny.
That part I actually liked. It's like, you know, you have to take my money. What?
Yeah.
And I was so ready to turn it off, especially at the point where during the party when the blood starts to leak.
Oh my goodness.
But then she just takes a little a little Kleenex and starts.
Oh my God!
Up and nobody notices.
Not even the cop. What kind of cop doesn't notice she's mopping up blood off the floor?
Right,
Batman way.
The only thing is, like, at that specific moment, because I was ready to turn it off right then, but then I just thought back to those old film noir, where this is supposed to be, where stuff like that happens, and it's like, well, maybe if I just, you know, sort of think of it in that way, because it's so incredibly unbelievable, the whole thing with the body. I mean, that was.
Oh
just,
my God! The fact that she
Who did not predict that the body would be gone when she went to get it?
Oh, that would be like the ringer drinking game.
Well, the thing that's silly is she weighs, what, 105? This is a grown man, and she stuffs him in a trunk in 20 minutes?
I would have loved to have
seen that. Even better than that, she's wearing a white shirt.
Nothing shows up on her shirt. Nothing. When she came to clean it up and she's wearing that little wispy white number as well, you really came dressed for this.
I think Sarah Michelle Gellar, the producer, needs to hire some better writers.
Yeah.
So Sarah Michelle Gellar, the actress, looks better.
Yeah, you know? I have to say, when she was in that nightgown she wore at the museum was really pretty on her. She looked gorgeous. Just random comment there. She looked really good.
I love her fashion tips.
Great. Wait. I love it for the fashion. There's two things that I love watching this for. I love it for the fashion show. It's a great fashion show series. And I also love it for the camp.
Oh.
Because it's for pure camp value. It's fun to watch.
I have a hard time, you know, seeing Buffy in anything else. So, you know, it's for me, I've never been a huge Sarah Michelle fan. So, you know, it looks funny to me seeing Buffy talk to herself, you know, or whatever.
Those are actually some of the worst scenes.
Oh, yeah, they're awful. They are really bad.
As a side note, did anybody see her appearance on All My Children? Really? I heard about it, which sounded awesome.
I taped the series, the ABC series finale.
So I don't think she's in the finale. I think she was in... But supposedly she played a person who has amnesia and feels like... Basically, she's the person she used to be, which is Kendall. Which is actually how I saw Sarah Michelle Gellar, because I saw All My Children back when I was at the Oprah Show a billion years ago. So there's a joke where she's coming out in a wheelchair, and I guess she says something about how she used to kill vampires before it was trendy. And that, I was like, oh, that's awesome that she said that, but I didn't see the clip. So
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll see it.
All right, next. Well, like I said, Ringer, I give it a thumbs down. You guys give it a thumb sideways camp.
Sideways.
Sideways camp. All right. If you like fashion and campiness, it's fun to watch.
All right. You guys want to talk about Parenthood real quick?
It won't take long.
Yeah, I've been a supporter of the show, but for some reason, one part of it, the plot point that you... what would you say? I forgot what the character's name is.
Oh, the black boyfriend.
Yeah, so... he basically punches... In the premiere, he punched out... this jerk rich kid, and the rich kid is pressing charges, and that's a big deal because he actually has a criminal record. And I was just like, oh, come on. We're going to do that move now?
But you knew his sad story from before everything, before he got to
the... Yes, I just...
It's still cliche.
Now you just see,
it's pretty cliche.
But I mean...
Yeah, I strangely feel like I think I'm kind of out of Parenthood, even though... I like the setting. I like the actors. I don't hate it. I think
the scene where Julia... after her husband tells her not to, ask Coffee Girl for her to raise her baby.
The title of the show line, you know, hey, you're not using that baby, can I?
Yeah.
All right.
I think I just like Parenthood because it's a different show. It's an ensemble. It's, you know, more real dialogue type thing where they're talking over and ad-libbing a little bit and stuff like that. And I want it to continue. And I love all the actors on it. I think
Me too.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'll keep watching it.
Great actors, usually good writing.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
All right, next up is Modern Family.
Which is the successful comedic version of Parenthood.
That's true.
Which had huge ratings.
Yes, it was the highest rating. Yeah. Yes, the highest ratings Modern Family's ever had. It was two episodes back to back. The first one was the premiere where they went to the Dude Ranch, and...
I was a little disappointed. I'm a huge Modern Family fan. I just rewatched both seasons last month, so I'm like a huge fan. So my expectations were just like, Modern Family, you know. So I thought the Dude Ranch episode was okay, but I was happy because I liked the second episode.
It's funny, the two comedies that were that did the episodes back to back, same thing. The first episode I thought was so-so, the second episode I thought was terrific.
Yeah, totally.
I don't watch it regularly, but I watched it occasionally, and I watched the premiere, both episodes of the premiere. I thought it was okay. It wasn't awesome, but I it's the same feeling I have about the show generally. I watch Sofia Vergara and everybody else is okay.
I have to say
Sofia Vergara and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, I have to
you
say
you don't like the guy. Who's the actor who plays Phil? Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell. Oh, he's brilliant.
Awesome,
he's
man. Brilliant. I mean, Sofia, she's great too. But I love the Ty Burrell
and Julie Bowen.
Yeah, actually, I like the whole cast. Yeah. I mean,
the kids
yeah,
are great. That's the secret.
Even the Manny guy.
The kids are terrific.
Although we will say, third season, we can totally tell the kids are getting older. Right. They're getting that awkward, stretched out look that the adolescents start.
And they recast Lily.
Oh yeah, the Lily.
Yeah,
recast.
I don't know.
I did like the second episode where she's like, "Kill the baby."
Yeah, that was funny.
My daddy.
Yeah.
The only thing you guys haven't talked about. Well, we haven't talked to detail either. But I liked when Jay was all about, you know, he had to be right and found out that Manny was the one that stole the locket. His first concern was Manny wanted to wear the locket because he's kind of like, yeah, I did this already with the gay son.
Yeah.
He's like,
I've seen this before.
He's like, he's looking
Why
for
does
the
he
pattern.
Have the lockets, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when he figures out that he didn't actually take the punishment, and the mom was all like threatening the principal with a Colombian necktie.
Yeah.
And then what was great, there's this scene where she's telling him to drop it and she gets her voice like drops an octave.
Yeah.
When she tells him to drop it, he just like backs up and he gets a little scared. And I was like,
Gloria?
Yeah. She's just like, she was kind of threatening him. And I was just like, whoa. Like, that was pretty good. I really do like this show.
I love the way that they intersect the plot lines, because the Dunphy family thing was that Claire always has to be right. And they tie that into the thing with Manny and Gloria.
It all comes together. Manny ties to Jay.
That was brilliant.
That
yeah.
was great.
And then everybody goes, oh.
They also do a good job of, I don't know how, because I know that I don't think that the show writes characters' names knowing that they're going to be able to use jokes later, but the whole Phyllis thing,
oh,
that's great. You know, like, that's a great, because remember, he's basically saying every time Jay says, you know, Phil is a good
Phyllis
husband, but he says Phyllis. It sounds like Phyllis. He's like, say it now. Like, that's great, but I'm like, well, that's so weird, because I can't believe that two seasons ago, they named the character so they could use that joke later.
Oh, I'm sure they just thought of it.
But it's great. It's just like, that's awesome.
There's the great line from the pilot where Gloria walks in and she says, Feel, and he starts feeling her.
Right.
She said, Phil, not Phil. It's just a great cast, great writing.
All right.
Great kids.
Moving on to Big Bang. Two-part?
For me, it wasn't a two-parter. It was
two episodes.
And once again, I thought the first episode was inferior.
Yeah, I thought the first episode. Well, one, like, we don't get enough of Leonard.
Sheldon.
Wait.
Sheldon.
Mix up. We don't get a lot of Sheldon. All he's doing is he's becoming this kind of army
paintball
guy for paintball.
When they build the Church of Sheldon, they will know it started right here.
But in general, I thought the episode was just kind of okay. But I did, again, like the second episode.
Was funnier.
Ronnie, I hear you in the background. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the second episode was just great. You know what I mean? But I think it's interesting how the whole thing worked out between Penny and Raj.
Oh, right. The fact that they ended up not having sex?
Right.
Well, not
okay,
I mean, for Raj. And it was funny because Julia had said that she's like, I don't know how I feel about Penny. I don't know about this. And then once it's revealed, she's like, ha ha. I was like, I was right. So I was like, okay. But yeah, I, you know what it was? I feel like.
Regardless, he broke the bro code, man. Regardless of what.
Oh,
he
totally did. Yeah. Well, and he wants to keep it going. Because he basically wants Penny to lie about it now.
Right.
So he, even, not only the broken the bro code, he wants that to be even worse because he's afraid of.
And then you find out that he was after Bernadette too. It's like, come on, man.
We knew that,
but they didn't know that before. That was revealed this week. It's like, you broke the bro code on Leonard.
You're so
you
nice
broke
to
the
me.
Bro code.
I'm nice to everybody or whatever. Yeah.
I love when she yells at him.
And when she's
that
like, would everybody want to be, of course, you're a fantastic man. Or she says something, you're adorable. She says something
yelling.
Complimentary while she's yelling at him. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't watch the show regularly, so I was confused. The whole roommate swapping or whatever the roommate situation is going on, it was confusing to me. But I did like that Raj and what's her name, ended up in bed together. That
Penny.
Was Penny. That was entertaining for me, so.
Well, that was what we were just saying didn't work.
Because... Right, but the episode before, I guess, that
the
one
finale.
Was the one that I liked.
Oh, okay. The finale from last season.
So they're doing interesting things with the characters.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they're flipping everything else, but I think the reason that the first one didn't work as well is because they relied on Sheldon. You light on Sheldon, the show's not as strong. Sheldon is the heart.
Sheldon's become the show.
Yeah, so...
Which is actually, to me, in a weird way, that's the weird positive and negative of the show, is that, like, if you rely too much on Sheldon just saying bazinga, you suddenly become...
Well, he didn't say bazinga a single time.
He didn't, but it's the same part. But it's still the same idea where it's the thing that The Simpsons made fun of years ago with don't have a cowman or whatever. Yeah, if your character starts to become too much that, even though I do love the character, it starts to become too self-conscious. He didn't in this episode, but it does start to rattle me with the show in overall.
The one thing I don't think I'll ever get tired of is his knock, 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 Penny, knock,
knock. Oh,
knock,
I kind of like that. Yeah, actually, that one I like. But
The gag with the chair.
Oh my god, that was
brutal.
That was pretty good,
especially
when you see the freaking monster that's living in the chair.
Did it used to be Leonard was the main character? And now Sheldon.
Sort of.
Well, but Leonard was always the straight man.
Right.
I mean, so.
But Leonard was, when you first watched, if you watched the first episode, they thought Leonard was going to be the center of the show.
Right.
And that's not what happened.
Huh. I tend to think of Big Bang Theory when it first came out as like a weird younger nerd version of Frasier. So basically, it's like the David Hyde Pierce character.
Mm-hmm. Which one is David Hyde Pierce?
Frasier, his brother, Niles, is played by David Hyde Pierce.
Yes.
And he became the breakout eccentric character. And on this show, you have another eccentric character that his eccentric qualities are what really makes the show funny.
I don't think of David Hyde Pierce as the heart of Frasier.
He's not one of the heart, still Frasier, but also the heart of Big Bang isn't Sheldon either.
Oh, okay.
It's more the funny part. It's more the outrageousness.
The Niles-Daphne romance kind of became the show's thing over the 11 seasons.
All right, moving on from Frasier. next up is Community. And this was the first episode back. They didn't really leave... Well, the cliffhanger was that...
Chevy Chase's character...
I almost said Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Chevy Chase's character has quit the group.
Right, that was a big cliffhanger. Right. And so this week, you're like, okay, how are they going to get the group back? And for all the fans of The Wire, what's awesome...
That was great!
What is his name from The Wire? Oh, come on.
Omar,
thank you. Omar is their new professor in biology or something. I was like, really? This guy? He looks like a criminal. And they're like, and he was like, yes, I got my degree from 150 hours in prison. And you're just like, what? Oh, and he's great. He's a great straight man. And then the group dynamics flip around a little bit, like they always do. But of course, the theme, each episode has a theme. And of course, this week's was, I'm blanking on his name. Help me out here.
I don't remember the Chevy Chase.
No, the guy, the TV guy. I'm just totally blanking.
Abed.
I'm starting again. When Abed basically is all in the mess, is upset because his show's about to get sent to a mid-season.
Right.
And he knows
Cougar Town. Yeah.
So he knows it's going to be canceled, which is true. That's, if you know TV, that's true. So now he's like, okay, I need a new favorite TV show. So they give him, she gives him a new,
Britta like, gives there's a British version that's actually based on a British show.
Yeah, and it lasts like six episodes. On the sixth episode, they kill everyone.
And he freaks out at the end.
He goes into catatonic, shock or whatever. So then she's like, oh, okay, I got this other British show that started in 1962 and is still on the air. And I went, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. And it's like, it's called...
It's not the doctor.
It's like the surgeon or something stupid
but he's
like
clearly
that.
The doctor. It's clearly Doctor Who.
Right, and they've got these monsters that are attacking. It's like, is that a Dalek? Like,
it's great.
So all that whole thing, they did a lot of Doctor Who references in the episode.
It's like, this is the greatest show ever or something like that.
Yeah. But I loved all the parodies that they put in there. I love when they do that in the 2001. That was great, too.
Right. They're very good with that.
Yes, they are. I love that the Cougar Town references and stuff, Dan Harmon and Bill Lawrence must have a relationship because there's always Cougar Town and the people, the actors from Cougar Town are popping up in the background of the community.
Maybe
show.
Their sets are next to each other.
But I love that. I love crossover stuff like that where it's either a parody or shows, you know, people from one show on another, and they do a lot of that, so I love it.
But overall, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Good episode. Yeah.
Next up, what do you guys think about the recasting on The Office?
Okay, see, here's the thing with The Office. They cheated. James Spader, and they say it really quickly in the opening, the search committee made the recommendation to hire James Spader, who went to interview with Kathy Bates, who also has a show on NBC, and she decided to give him her job.
Okay.
So James Spader is only going to be in 15 of the 24 episodes of this season of The Office. He's the boss's boss.
So who's the guy that's taking over?
Andy is taking over.
It's a character that we already knew.
Andy
So there's no new actor.
At home.
Unless
at
they're home. Not sticking with that. Unless they have another surprise.
No, they don't.
Oh, okay. That wasn't sure.
This is it. I just thought the episode, I had told myself, you know, unless they do something fantastic, I'm out after Carell leaves. And if Spader was actually the boss, I would have stayed, but I'm
not.
So
you do like, because I think Spader's good on the show.
Oh, Spader's great. He was my choice, but he's not the boss. Andy's the boss, and this is this whole new weird dynamic.
But I kind of like the dynamic of how Spader's character made the list. I liked, you didn't think that was funny?
No.
Oh, okay, I thought that was pretty funny.
No, not at all.
I liked that. I would agree, I don't know about Andy being the boss forever. I honestly, sure, that's a little underwhelming. But I like Spader. I liked the list, which was the main hook of the episode. So.
All right. Well, I think the idea is they want to have a different boss now. So Spader's very different from the Michael Scott character. We'll see who ends up being there. I hope it's somebody different, though.
All right. Thumbs up, down? You're saying down.
I like
thumbs down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, really quick, Charlie's Angels. Thumbs up or down?
This won't take long. It's as slick and vapid as the original was.
It's
and
not
that
slick. The production value is terrible. That's what did you watch it?
Yeah.
I thought it looked really I thought USA, like, man, I take back everything I said about Burn Notice. Not like, man, Burn Notice knows how to shoot Miami. Like, Charlie's Angels, it was so bland looking. So I don't think it had a good production value.
I just thought, eh.
Okay, thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
All right, next up, Person of Interest. I saw it. You saw it? Anybody
else? I love
it. Yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
Okay, what'd you guys think? You haven't talked in a while.
I didn't think it was all that interesting. I thought it had this great, you know, I tuned in because it had this great high concept to it. And Michael Emerson is in it, and he's fantastic. And he is fantastic in it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's not in it that much. And the person who you do get to watch, the person of interest in the title, is played by Jim Caviezel, who is the world's most boring actor. And he is in virtually every single shot. So it's like a Jim Caviezel film festival.
Caviezel.
And he is dull, dull, dull. And, you're supposed to be interested in him, and he's just boring. He's as boring in this as he is in everything else I've ever seen in it.
Ooh.
And actually, I mean, I liked it more, I think, than Allison, but at the same time, it does, you know, it's like, but I also think sort of the high concept versus what it turns out to be, which mm-hmm. is the police procedural, you know, sort of, and so it's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to keep up with them. I'm going to give it another shot, you know, because it was interesting, but I just don't know, like, where they're going to go with it.
Okay. What, Tom?
The reason I kind of like it is whoever the week's person of interest in, you don't know if, are they the good guy or are they the bad guy?
That's the twist.
Yeah, that's the twist. I don't think the twist worked this week, though.
Wait, why do you not know?
Because you don't know if you don't.
A person doesn't tell you what
it says. Let's say it pops up with Peter's social security number.
Is this like Minority Report?
It's a cross between Minority Report and the end of The Dark Knight.
So it's like, it's
their surveillance stuff. But basically, if your social security number comes up, it means either you're going to be the victim of a crime or the perpetrator
right.
of a crime.
Oh, that's so you don't know.
That's kind of interesting.
That's kind of interesting, except that this week it didn't work because when you get to the twist, because you think she's the woman's the victim the whole episode, and then at the very end, they flip it and she's the one that's ordering the hits. And I was just like, I didn't buy it. And I think partly I think it's the actress. The actress didn't sell that for me. Hmm. I think it might have worked with a different actress, but it didn't work this week. But I did like the concept enough that I'll watch another episode.
I like the concept too, although it brings to mind Dark Angel for some reason.
Oh, it's very Equalizer / Burn Notice / any other show you've seen.
But I mean, it's like the guy with all the information and then
I got you.
All right.
I love the fact that Caviezel got to kick some serious butt, though.
All right, let's wrap this one up.
It was a good fight scene.
Let's wrap this one up. So that was thumbs up and down throughout the group on that. That's a little weird one. So you guys, based on the concept, decide what you want to watch. All right, next up is Whitney. That was the choice of half the group is going to be the big epic fail.
Heavily marketed from NBC very, Universal. Very. I mean, if you live in LA, you see you posters can't not see
every
those 10 posters.
Minutes you drive on the
yeah,
freeway.
Yeah, there are so many posters.
It's Universal Television now. Yeah.
But it got decent ratings, so it's not going to be the one that
it
gets canceled.
It was not actually horrible.
It wasn't horrible.
Probably because it was the same night I saw Charlie's Angels. So I was like, it was half the worst thing. Yeah, it was half as long. But no, but still, compared to, even though Tom did not like The Office, I would think you would still agree that of the NBC, the four shows, Whitney was... Wait, did you see it? I'm sorry. Or no, you didn't watch it.
No.
It's still weaker in the writing level of all those other shows.
If you're, going to watch...
Parks and Recreation, I mean, it's just not as good as those shows. It's just not as well written.
If you're going to watch one Whitney Cummings show, I would watch Two Broke Girls.
Oh, yeah. Two Broke Girls is good.
Do you need two of them? Probably not. I don't know.
Alright, so thumbs downish. Next up is Prime Suspect, and
thumbs up.
It's totally thumbs up. And what's weird about that show is they've been advertising it as not the same as the British one. They're like, oh, we took the title and that's it, and it's nothing like it. Except that the pilot is almost point for point. Like, a lot of the plot points from the original pilot of Prime Suspect happen in this one. And I was kind of like, well, why are they billing this as not the same?
So, because I haven't seen the British. My wife, like I said, on you. So you're saying the main premise is that basically she wanted a case that she couldn't get because these other police officers
They don't respect her because...
They don't respect her. And one of them dies.
Right.
And so she comes in cold-hearted,
like,
I want the case.
The exact same scene.
The police is like, what are you doing?
Right.
How rude is this for you to do? This guy just died. You know, it's
like,
just like,
literally,
I need to come in and get
like his body's
case.
Not even cold yet.
Right?
Yeah, that's
expect that. In fact, in the scene, the cup that when he passed out is still on the floor. You
right.
know, but I gotta say, man, from the opening, because it was Peter Berger who directed it. Like, you got a cool Black Keys song going on. You got that black title card, boom. You know, generic letters, Prime Suspect. She's in a cab. She's running. I mean, it's just the whole thing. I was just like, wow, this has energy. It moves really well. Like,
and
it's a good cast.
And I
like
the circular thing because you see her trying to jog and get rid of
smoking.
And then she has to. I was like, man, you should have ran a little longer.
Yeah.
So
she really pays. She gets beat up.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, does that happen to Helen Mirren? Do they beat up Helen Mirren?
I don't think she gets.
I can't see that. I can't see Helen Mirren.
I don't think she
gets
beaten like that, but the same, like, there's like a bunch of cops. There's like 15, like in the original Prime Suspect, there's like 10 or 15 cops, are all guys. They hate the fact that this woman got hoisted
on
their...
An empty suit is what they call it.
Yeah,
right.
They don't quite call it the same in the British version, but basically this woman gets hoisted in and everybody thinks because she slept with somebody or whatever that's why she got the job.
Right.
And they don't call her for the crime scenes. The same exact thing happens. She's like, my name's on the murder board. How come I didn't get called in? She runs to her boss. Like, all of that's the same. And then the guy that's leading the case freaking has a heart attack. It's the same thing. So it's kind of weird that they say it's not the same. But I think that this remake is really well. Usually, you know me, I like...
Well, you love British stuff.
I know.
Yeah,
my thing is always the British version's better. That's pretty much how I always see stuff. But I actually really like this version.
The scene where she's with the little boy, and I think that's why she gets the child psychologist in the room, because she's about to pull out her weapon or piece and stuff. And the kid says something about, like...
I want to kill him.
I want to kill him. And she's like, and I would help you do that. So
right.
You're like, whoa. And I would say, I don't think she's doing a Helen Mirren imitation, though.
No.
But she's doing her own thing.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Like, which she should be.
Right, but I'm just saying the story, the setup is
and
the same.
And the closer, which was, in a weird way, the first remake
of the Prime
Suspect, also had that Brenda was a person who had slept with another person in charge.
Yeah,
and that was the talk. And everything.
Right, and
so,
the closer
right.
is an acknowledged remake of Prime Suspect. So yeah, they're just doing it again. All right, next.
Thumbs up. Yeah.
Next, we're going to talk about Vampire Diaries. We're going to let Ronnie start off the discussion.
And, oh gosh. You caught me off guard. But
well, you haven't talked in a while.
Excellent episode. I thought it was very interesting, say, with this whole thing with the hybrids and how it didn't work out, which I was actually very happy about.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, but I like the fact
that
it was like, they have to kill the doppelganger in order for it to work. And everybody's
like, oh. He's like, I sacrificed the vampire. I sacrificed this. I killed the doppelganger. Like, oh. And then you cut to Stefan like, could you save me? But sorry, Ronnie, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's what keep going.
But I thought it was good. You know, I mean, of course. Although I did feel
The show's so good with cliffhangers. I totally saw it coming.
Oh, with the whole hi, daddy.
I was like, oh, come
but
on.
They quickly answered.
I didn't see that one coming.
They quickly answered the lingering question from last year about how did Carolyn Lockwood figure out that Caroline was a vampire.
How did she? Oh, she said she's been
watching. She said she's been watching.
And she's been collecting clues.
Of course, she wasn't that clueful because she didn't
know. She has like how her son is a freaking werewolf.
She didn't know her husband's family.
Well, that's true. Yeah, because I'm like, it's the whole family line. How could she not know that?
But it looks like it skipped the husband.
Well, the husband never activated the curse. Because you have to kill someone.
Right. You have to kill someone.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, she totally was clueless. And he was like, you think she's a monster? I'll show you a monster.
Okay. I would like to sing a quick little dedication to the producers. Bring back my Bonnie to me.
Yeah,
I want my witch back.
Yeah, where did she go?
Last time we saw her, she was just on an iPhone. Yeah. Like, I don't... Yeah, is she hiding? Is that what it is?
No, she's not. I don't understand.
She's shooting a film or
something. Because this is like the second time.
What did she say to the character? I forgot. She said, Jeremy, right?
She said, I'm visiting my family.
Yeah.
That is like, but that's the thing is she did that in first or second season. She was gone for like four episodes.
But she's still on the show, but she's in the opening credits.
Yeah. And then speaking of Jeremy, that was actually pretty good with the, you know, help me, I can come back. And then you see the girl who's another vampire. She's
Anna.
Like, don't trust Vicky. I was like, ooh, yeah, this is good. I can't wait to see what,
But well, I love the thing with the picture.
Oh, and the move the picture?
That was great.
So how'd she do that, though? Because I thought only Jeremy can see ghosts. That seemed to imply she's touching the physical world.
Right.
It seems like she is.
Yeah.
Right.
Not implying.
Right.
That's pretty good. I do like that.
It was nice to see, like, the Caroline's dad is actually, you know, sort of, I don't know the actor's name, but HRG from...
Heroes. Yeah, because I was like, why do I know this guy? I was like, oh, Heroes. And I was like, oh, he's not wearing glasses.
He's not wearing glasses.
Jack Coleman from Dynasty.
Well, I mean, it's like his reverse disguise. He's not wearing glasses, so I don't know who he is.
But he has a very specific way his intonation is talking. I was like, this guy seems familiar. I'm not sure what it is. Yeah. But I thought good, yeah.
Good episode.
Very
thumbs
good.
Up. Yep. Cannot wait for the next week.
Allison, do you not watch it?
No, I'm not. I'm not keeping up with it.
Did you ever see any of it? Or
Libya gave me a bunch of discs to watch the thing, but I still haven't caught up.
Oh, it's so good! It's so good.
I know. I mean, I enjoy the discs that Libya gave me, but I still haven't caught up with the series.
More satisfying than True Blood.
I finally watched for season one.
All right, next up is Secret Circle, and this is the second week. What'd you guys think?
I watched the second week. I missed the first week.
That's weird.
Well, I didn't see the pilot. My recorder doesn't like the CW. The antenna doesn't tune in really well.
Me too.
All right, I have to adjust it. And anyway, I watched it, and I thought, it's interesting. It's like, you know, Charmed meets Gossip Girl or something.
Meets
Vampire Diaries, right. It's very CW. It's the supernatural thing and the learning your powers and getting, you know, whatever. So it's if you like that sort of thing, it's fine. I had enough with Charmed. I don't need it anymore.
The only thing is I didn't watch Charmed. I didn't like Charmed. Because Charmed, I thought, was too too campy. I can't.
Predictable.
I don't like that. But I like this. And I actually have to say, Peter, your issue from last week totally handled. This week, she's all about because she figures out that if she doesn't control her powers, she can kill people.
Mm-hmm. The mean girl?
No.
I thought she can't control them. At this point, she can't.
No. Right, but what she's finding out is because being in that town around other people, she's getting stronger and stronger. Yeah, the blonde girl.
Well, also
she's
getting stress level, too.
Yeah, and she's getting stronger and stronger, and so she actually starts to try to use her powers, and it doesn't necessarily work the way she intends.
It did in the pilot at the end.
Yeah, but this one, so like an example, she tries, she goes, she wants to light a candle, and she's like, bring me light. She says the spell, bring me light. Looking at the candle to make it light. What happens instead is her curtains open. And she's like, huh, all right. So then she tries to close her curtains because she's the guy, you know, the kid across the street that's being the creepy dude that keeps looking in her window.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, okay, close the curtains. And she tries, she's like, close. And it closes his windows with so much force, it breaks the glass and hits him. So then she was like... Okay.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah. That's good.
It's like she's trying to use it, but the angrier she gets and the more emotion that's involved in what she's doing, make stuff bad happen. And so this girl actually got killed because the mean girl, as I don't even know what her name is, she's trying to show off with her powers, and she's not even thinking about it, and she just pushes a girl. And, I mean, they're not really big buff girls or anything, so she just hits a girl. She's like, pushes her like that, freaking throws her off a balcony, hits her head on a rock, and she's dead.
So she didn't mean to kill her.
No, not at all.
I don't think that the girl you're talking about, I don't think she's evil. No, no. She's just more the antagonistic
character. Right, right. And that's the thing is, she didn't mean to kill the girl, and it really freaks her out, and then the mom uses the thing and brings the girl back so she doesn't, whatever. And that's when they all realize that they have too much power.
That they need to bind
That they the need circle. To bind the circle.
The secret circle.
Right.
Right.
It's not so secret. The yeah. not so secret circle.
Yeah, that 700 families, or 6 families and 700 people know about. So.
Right.
What I thought was interesting about episode 2, I mean, an episode 2 of a new show is basically a restatement of the pilot, but you get more of the history of the parent circle. And then the grandparents circle.
Yeah, that's all. Because
the grandparents stripped the parents of their powers, but the parents have this magic rock which has
some of their power left.
Which is how Natasha Henstridge can
heal,
resurrect the girl. But Natasha Henstridge also kills Grandpa.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was like, whoa!
Okay, what'd you guys...
sounds like you guys are liking it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you, Ronnie, I thought you were trying to say something.
Well, actually, I mean, you already, it was already said, I thought it's funny how it's supposed to be the secret circle, but then they keep doing these things in town with fires and everything else. I don't understand how secret it really is.
Yeah, that's very true, but I was surprised. I was sort of surprised when she killed the grandfather, because basically the grandparents stripped the parents of their powers because half the parents died. Like, they list all the people that got killed during this whatever spell they were trying to do, and it's like 5 or 6 of them got killed. And so they strip that circle of their powers and forbid any of them from using powers again. And apparently, what we still don't understand is, by the kids now forming this circle, how that gives the parents how they get their powers back. We're not quite sure how that happens. Other than now, I think that circle is strong enough to be able to give the parents their powers back.
What I love about Kevin Williamson's, at least these 2 Supernatural shows he's got, after all those years on Dawson's Creek, the man knows how to plot story arcs.
Well, he's also, and he does the Scream movies. Those are pretty well plotted. So he's got the dialogue.
Yeah, yeah. I think it works pretty well. And I mean, yeah. I agree it is a CW show, but there's like One Tree Hill CW, which is awful. And then there's Vampire Diary CW, which I think is really good.
Well, I'll give you that it's more grown up, more complex than Charmed. It has more, you know, subtlety and nuance and whatever, but it's still a CW show. And, you know, if you like that sort of thing, like Vampire Diaries, if you like that sort of thing, it's great. And I would maybe put it on a par with that. But if it's not your thing to have that kind of, those 20-something characters, that kind of...
20-something, you mean 20-somethings playing teens?
Playing teens. Well, yeah, that's well, more... That's not
the
just
high school slash
like
college.
Too, like,
yeah. And it's that culture that they live in that they're expressing all this mystical
and
stuff.
They always live in some small town that nobody's ever heard of.
Right. Well, the only exception to that is Gossip Girl, which is Manhattan, New York, which is a huge city.
Except that they moved Gossip Girl to L.A.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
Is that permanent or just temporary?
I don't know.
How do you know? You didn't watch Gossip
Girl. I saw the trailer.
Wait, so they're all moved? They moved to
L.A.? Yeah.
I'm kind of curious.
I think it's like, just temporary.
Anyway, moving on. Fringe premiere. This week... what's interesting about the Fringe premiere is that Peter's gone.
Although his name is still in the credits and everything.
Yeah, I know. It's the universe where Peter doesn't exist, and the credits are now orange instead of red or blue.
It's the Bridge universe.
And it's an interesting kind of show that can do this because you have characters like the Observer. You didn't have the Observer. I'm not sure how you would pull this off, except that we as the audience would know Peter used to exist. Right. Because you have the Observers can talk about... this is a good thing, he needed to be erased, blah, blah, blah. But without them,
no one knows about why Peter. Is the Rogue Observers, like, he in love with Peter? Like, he wants Peter to exist for some reason.
He's always been connected to the bishops, though. He's
right,
always
I know,
had a thing.
But I don't understand why, exactly. Well,
I haven't explained it yet, but he has always gone against, to some degree, the other Observers in favor of the bishops, yeah.
Well, he's the one who was there when
Walter pulled
Peter through.
I think that's the point, is that they're setting up, I mean, that's why the Observers are there, is to set up what the Observers' role in all this is, and why that one guy has the attachment to the bishops, and why at the end, he can't himself do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen another observer go completely rogue.
That's true.
And that doesn't pan out too terribly
well. So actually, I just thought of that. Does that mean this season might be the end of that observer? Maybe they're
they might have to kill him.
They might have to kill him. Or... Yeah.
Or at least they kill us.
Kill them? I don't know if they
kill the last one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they did.
But at least they'll reveal what his intentions are, hopefully, this season.
When do you think we're going to get to Peter? Predictions.
I say 2 more episodes without him.
Okay.
Two or three.
Define without.
I mean, he's back.
Really, really
back. They're talking to
him. Yeah, back in the universe.
Yeah, back. Not just, I saw him on a television screen. No, I mean, like, he's...
Because we already had that.
He's cracking jokes, you know.
I don't think that they're going to...
Not where he's on the call sheet, but where he's actually got dialogue, you know.
I wouldn't...
Allison, what did you say?
I don't think that they're going to be dragging this out eternally. This is going to be wrapped up pretty soon. But I think that when he comes back, it's not going to be, you know, oh, everything's going to be wonderful and fine. I think that there's going to be consequences, and I think that maybe, you know, he won't be quite the Peter that we're used to.
No, of course.
Yeah, I would agree.
That could be
I wouldn't be surprised if they let it go a little bit longer than we think, though.
I don't think so, because the executive producer said he's not going to go until people are tired of it.
Because you need... Because he's part of the chemistry
of
the show.
Yeah, you need him. Like, because Walter... The part of the reason why I thought that this premiere was just okay was because Walter was weird.
Walter's weird, and you feel bad for him. And there's no...
He's not tethered to anything.
Right,
right. Yeah, and there's no humor. There was no humor this week.
I thought this episode was mostly revealing background on what's going to happen, setting up things for the rest of the season and so forth.
And integrating Lee onto the team.
And then the only things I found were interesting were Lee coming onto the team and the two Olivias. And actually, I did like the two Olivias.
The neck, did you see the trailer?
They're both blonde.
The evil one is like, here we go. And she's got the blonde one. I think Anna Torv is stepping up a notch with the humor as the evil one. Like, which is good. I like that.
Right.
So.
And I like the two. They're so distinctive now.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I hated the premiere of Fringe, but it was a little kind of like,
standard. I mean, it was mostly involving in getting Lincoln onto the team.
Yeah.
And just establishing where we are here with all the new stuff set.
That's the same actor.
It was an establishing episode.
And I like the cool thing where you go in and you see the two universes on different sides of the building.
Bridge. Did you notice when they're going in, the lights match the same orange as the new credit sequence that they did.
That was pretty good.
Wait, so is Lincoln Lee, is that the actor's name?
No, that's the character.
And he's also the guy who had his face all messed up.
In the alternate universe.
What happened to his version here? I forgot.
Well, they reset him. Originally, he was just a geek nerd who knew nothing about anything. Mm-hmm. But they reset him now to where he's an agent.
Well, he always was. He was an agent before.
He was a desk guy. Yeah.
But they
changed him.
Well, the case itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a callback to the first season.
I'm excited about Fringe. I'm totally in.
Yeah.
But this episode was okay.
You just kind of watch it, and it gets you psyched for the rest of the season.
Exactly. So I'm excited about the rest of the season.
It's the roller coaster going up there.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is a Supernatural premiere, which I liked. I'm assuming from your side, not so much, but I thought it was actually a really pretty good premiere.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah, I was very excited. I mean, they basically picked up where they left off with Castiel losing his freaking mind. And this week was more of the same. Like, he was totally off the rails. Okay, go ahead. Tom is barely holding himself together over here.
I didn't care for it. Mainly because we had seen Castiel starting to lose his nut before. But where they ended up just didn't make... It's like, wait a minute. If he's so all-powerful, then how does he let himself get taken over by Leviathan?
Well, that didn't happen until after he gave up the power. He gave up the power, and then he got taken over by the Leviathan.
He was powerful not because he was powerful. He was powerful by virtue of the fact that he had taken over all those souls.
Right. It was stolen power.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing is, he was calling himself God, but I like the fact that Death was like, dude, you're totally not God.
Yeah. I thought Death was very cool in this episode.
Death was awesome.
Death was the best part. It was amazing. That guy is wonderful.
And I like the fact that Dean was like, okay, we're going to bind Death. Let me get him some pickles here, and he'll be fine. And he's like, you're trying to bribe me with fruit with food? He's like, yeah, no.
here's my objection.
He's the best character, though. And, you know, that is a character that ever since we saw him in the first time, I've always worried about you know, reusing him because he is such a spectacular character.
Right.
I always thought, you know, you use him again, he's just going to be diminished.
But
and somehow
no.
they pulled out the miracle of maintaining the quality of that character. And he's just been gold every time we've seen him. And I just adored seeing him again this time.
I thumbs right up there. On that. Go ahead. Ronnie, comment?
No, I was going to definitely agree that I think he was like the best part sort of the episode. And just, you know, sort of seeing, and I think, you know, for me, it did work about these Leviathans because it's like, it was a commodity that, that Castiel didn't take into account when he
right.
did everything. And so it gives a way for the new bad, you know, to come out. So I thought that for me, it actually did work by the end because it's like, as I was going along with the episode, it's like, come on, if he's God, why is he staying in this human, you know, this meat suit? This
right.
didn't make sense. And so finally for that to be unleashed in a way that he didn't expect it made me feel like, okay, this is going somewhere.
Well, and what was cool about it too is Castiel being, Castiel was never an archangel. He was one of the, he was like a mid-level angel.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he didn't have this information because only God and death had this information, I thought that was fantastic. Like, I mean, I thought that was a really good story element that worked for his, because his whole plot was, okay, I'll take all these souls, I'll become all powerful, I'll do everything. And then, like, the stuff that he decides to do as God is just so petty. You know,
that's what I didn't like.
I thought that was brilliant.
I just thought it was cliche.
No, but it was great. It's like, who wouldn't want to go to one of those churches that preach BS and walk in and say, I'm God and you're totally wrong? And just,
well, that sounds funny.
It is. It was great.
You're saying no.
Eh. It was. I thought it was great. He just walked in.
I thought
in.
It was too, because that's the thing. He is not God.
Right.
And he's being corrupted by this power because he is not this entity.
Exactly. Like, God wouldn't need to do the stuff that he did.
Exactly.
And so the fact that he did it basically showed that he wasn't.
What's the actor's name? Misha something, right?
Oh, he's great.
Misha Collins.
Misha
Collins.
Yeah. Is he pulling it off?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He was great. So I thought two thumbs up, Supernatural.
Doesn't sound like the two brothers have had much to do in this episode. You guys haven't talked about them.
Well,
at all,
because their goal, what are they going to do to him?
They had solid performances. They do what they always do, which was
okay,
terrific. But this really was Misha's episode.
It was.
Yes.
That's my other criticism, is I wanted more for the boys to do.
I don't need them
to.
No,
stuff.
I thought it was
fun. Well, I mean, they've done stuff for six seasons.
Yeah,
so
I mean, they don't need to be the focus in every episode.
But for the
and
season,
you know what? I think you're going to get your wish in the next episode, because I think it's going to really focus on Sam based on
yeah,
the reviews.
That's true.
I thought the stuff with Lucifer was interesting.
That was good.
Is it a good actor playing Lucifer?
Same one.
Same
we
one.
Always always play Lucifer.
Your favorite.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, he was really good. That was like nice bringing him back. It really worked.
I just thought it was an odd thing to do for a season premiere.
No, I thought it was great. I really liked it. All right, so wrapping up Supernatural, mostly thumb up, thumb medium from Tom.
Thumb sideways.
Thumb sideways from Tom. Everybody else, thumbs up.
Interesting. It doesn't sound, because I'm still behind on season six, but what you guys have told me, obviously that's a huge deal to know, but I don't know. I don't mind that. Like, unless there's some other thing you haven't told me.
Well, we're not going to tell you if there is.
Okay.
All right. Next
something I don't want to know, but tell me if there is.
All right. Next up is Doctor Who. And we're sticking with our 1 week behind thing. So we're on the episode in the hotel.
Hotel.
What's
closing
that?
Time.
Closing time.
Oh.
And
no, that's God.
No. God Complex.
Oh, sorry.
God Complex. Complex.
Thank you. Closing time is this week's.
Okay,
so God Complex, which the thing that's cool about this episode, and not cool, I guess, is they lead you to believe through the whole episode that it's all about fear. So whoever's the most afraid is the one who's susceptible.
They get to give the weeping angels a callback.
Yeah, which
like
is nice.
Yeah,
nice
like
weeping angel.
Them, right.
Yes. Still is scary.
Yep,
I like it.
Still creepy. As long as they don't get all CG morphy, they're
right.
Crazy.
So you're watching the episode, and you think that it's about fear. And then everything the doctor's doing is not working, you know? And though we never got to see what was in his room. That's a little disappointing.
I was wondering.
I was assuming it was the master because it sounded like a clock or something. Some weird made a noise. And I was like, oh, is it like a stopwatch?
I thought it was him.
That's what
yeah.
I...
Oh, I was assuming
yeah.
it was the master.
That would
but
be
I
my
know.
Guess.
Yeah, I thought it was
of
him.
Of course it was you.
First
right.
of all, it's room number 11.
Right.
I love that tone.
No, here, if it's room 11,
yeah. What's inside is... Who else?
Right. The room the doctor went into that had his fear was had an 11
yeah,
on it.
Which 11?
He's the 11th
doctor.
Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. How could you not know this and be a Doctor Who fan?
Because it's 2005 Doctor Who. And, you know,
I just don't think anything could scare him like himself.
Right. And I thought, yeah, that's true. I thought that was pretty good. But the heartbreaking moment. Because the episode
11, too.
Nice. The thing that worked and didn't work for this episode for me, because I thought the episode itself, what it was about, was okay. But the moment where this episode really clicked for me was when he realized it was about faith, and that the reason they got pulled in was because Amy had faith in him. Mm-hmm. And in order to break the cycle, he had to break Amy's faith.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that scene. That was really well done.
Yeah.
So thumbs up again and for the whole thing.
It was a good way to... Oh, no, never mind. That was next. No, that was the...
That was this week. Yeah, yeah.
So that it was a good way to kind of say...
Goodbye
to
yeah.
Amy.
Well, the thing is as soon as he broke her faith in him, that's
he had
to let her go.
Yeah.
Well, mainly the Doctor has like a parasitic symbiotic relationship with his companions,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they worship and have faith in him,
yeah.
And he takes them all around the world or all around the galaxy in time or whatever. And once that is broken, he basically leaves them because that's what happened with.
Rose.
Well,
yeah.
Rose, not she got left, but
Martha.
I was gonna say Martha,
Donna.
And Donna, like all of them, it's all part of the pattern. Like once that faith in him, they start not believing that he's gonna be there all the time, and they start seeing him as he really is. Then it's over. He leaves them.
That was the first time they explicitly said that. He said that in the episode, right? Yeah.
Is this the first time he's called Amy Williams?
Yes.
I thought so.
Hmm.
Yes. And
now,
so,
I wasn't that thrilled with that. It's like transferring ownership, and I wasn't that.
Yeah,
I expected to, you know, hand Rory a pink slip or something. Just sign here.
I thought it was interesting that Rory didn't have a room too.
You're right, because Rory had no faith.
Yeah.
Well, he's.
I like that. The
oh, was fear too.
Showing him the exit signs. It's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that Rory made the comment about how he made it in the past tense that he used to believe in the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't anymore.
So do you guys think that Rory and Amy will still be with the Doctor somewhat throughout the rest of the season? And
well, the rest of the season is only
two
episodes.
Yeah.
And the answer is?
I don't know.
I'm not telling you.
No, do you think it'll be in the finale? None of us have seen the finale.
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What's weird is I've always...
We know the relationship between Amy and River and Doctor. There's something that in River's
right.
coming up in the next episode, or the two episodes or whatever, the season finale. So Amy's probably going to be around for that, I think.
I like the message.
I'm going to guess and say yes, they will, because I think it would be weird for them to not be part of the finale.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I like that Amy gives the Doctor a message for her daughter.
You're
right. You see
yeah.
my daughter.
Yeah. I like... This episode, I thought it was a pretty good one.
I wish they hadn't used the hotel / house. We just did
the
a
hotel,
haunted house
yeah,
thing.
I know.
A big house.
It's like,
yeah.
House.
Yeah, I agree.
Department of Redundancy Department.
Nice. All right, let's wrap this up. And I wanted to say that we are to welcome to the audience from Krypton Radio. This should be our premiere episode, and remember that we can also be found on getthepointradio.com. And if you have feedback, send it to us at tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And that's it.
Later.
Bye.
All right. Bye.